Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this special service. This is the start of the most important week in our Christian calendar, the start of Holy Week. And just want to let you know there'll be a number of opportunities to reflect during this week. On Tuesday evening, we're invited to join others at the URC at 7 o'clock to read through the whole of Mark's Gospel together. On Thursday, there will be services to reflect on the Last Supper at 2 o'clock at Stile, at 7:30 at St. Mary's, or at 8 o'clock for the Tenebrae service at the URC. And on Friday, we have our special service here at 10 o'clock. On Friday, as well as sharing again in this service at 3 o'clock at Stile. And then an 8 o'clock service on Sunday morning to celebrate the resurrection and our 10:30 service. Also, just to say today that our offering will be received as a retiring collection. And also to say that during the congregational hymns, please do stand and join the choir in singing those. Begin with a meditation, the way of the cross. Jesus, as we start once again to follow you on the way of the cross, we are apprehensive, for we're not sure of ourselves. On our journey, we've often been afraid, often sought the safe options, often fudged the sharp solution. On our journey, we have often tried to hide our real selves from others, from ourselves, and from you. We who dare to say we are following you know how faltering are our footsteps, how delicate our discipleships, how feeble our faith. Yet still you call us by name and invite us into your company and onto your road. So give us the courage and commitment we need. Help us to look out for one another on the road. Show us how we may share the duty and the joy of discipleship, knowing that in the end, it is you who have blazed the trail, you who accompany us all the way, you who will meet us on the road and say our name. I invite you to share with me in the prayers for the congregation. The words are on the screen. And so as we tell your story, as we follow in your footsteps,
lead us into Holy Week.
As we walk towards the city, as we wait in the garden,
lead us onto the Holy Ground.
As we journey towards death, as we hope for your resurrection,
lead us
into holy joy. Amen. And now I invite you to take hold of your palm cross, for we begin our journey with the voices of the pilgrims heading to Jerusalem. And we share in these words on the screen from Psalm 118, which the pilgrims would have sung as they headed down into the city. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say,
his steadfast love endures forever.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Save us, we beseech you, O Lord, O Lord. We beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Ride on, ride on in majesty. And Bethany and the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his followers ahead of them.
Go to that village over there. As soon as you get into the town, you'll see a young colt tied that nobody has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it back to me. If anybody stops you and asks you what you're doing, just say, "The Lord needs it," and he will send it back right after he's done.
Everything happened just as Jesus had told them. They found the colt in the street, tied next to a door, and they untied it.
Hey, what are you doing?
The disciples answered the onlookers as Jesus had instructed and were allowed to take it. So they brought the colt back to Jesus, piled garments on its back to make a comfortable seat, and Jesus rode the animal towards Jerusalem. As they travelled, people cast their cloaks onto the road and spread out leafy branches, which they'd brought from the fields along the way. People walked ahead of them, and others followed behind.
Hosanna!
Hosanna!
Blessed be us now, Lord!
Hosanna!
Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Eternal One. And blessed is the kingdom of our Father David, which draws closer to us.
Hosanna!
honour in the highest heavens.
Give thanks to the Eternal, because he is always good.
He never ceases to be loving and kind.
Hosanna! Hosanna!
To the sound of this chanting, Jesus rode through the gates of Jerusalem and up to the temple. He looked around and saw that evening was coming, so he and the 12 went back to Bethany to spend the night. That his hour had come to depart from this world and to return to the Father. From beginning to end, Jesus' days were marked by his love for his people. Before Jesus and his disciples gathered for dinner, the adversary filled Judas Iscariot's heart with plans of deceit and betrayal. Jesus, knowing that he had come from God and was going away to God, stood up from dinner and removed his outer garments. He then wrapped himself in a towel, poured water in a basin, and began to wash the feet of the disciples, drying them with his towel.
Lord, are you going to wash my feet?
Peter, you don't realize what I'm doing. But you will understand later.
You will not wash my feet, not now, nor ever.
If I don't wash you, you will have nothing to do with me.
Then wash me, but don't just stop with my feet. Cleanse my hands and my head as well.
Listen, anyone who has bathed is clean. Clean all over, except for the feet. But I tell you this, not all of you are clean.
He knew the one with plans to betray him, which is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet and picking up his garments, he reclined at the table again.
Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and truly that is who I am. So if your Lord and teacher washes your feet, then you should wash one another's feet. I am your example. Keep doing what I do. I tell you the truth. A servant is not greater than the master. Those who are sent are not greater than the one who sends them. If you know these things, and if you put them into practice, you will find happiness. I'm not speaking about all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But let the Hebrew scripture be fulfilled, that says, "The very same man who eats my bread with me will stab me in the back." Assuredly, I tell you these truths before they happen, so that when it all transpires, you will believe that I am. I tell you the truth. Anyone who accepts the ones I send accepts me. In turn, the ones who accept me also accept the one who sent me.
What an evening of mixed emotions. Such joy and love in that meal of communion. But so much that I struggle to understand. We all knew that he was talking about dying, but none of us wanted to hear that. How could we? And talk of betrayal was just so unthinkable. I claimed myself that I would never deny or reject him, but he always knew me better than I know myself. And how could he kneel and wash our feet? That was a job for slaves and servants, not for the master. I cried out, "You are not going to wash my feet. I mean it. If you're down on your knees, won't the world just walk on by, thinking you feeble and weak?" But he was still teaching us, right to the last. His power was in his weakness, and by loving the unlovely, by dying for the lifeless, by forgiving those whose hearts were too stubborn to see who he was and what he was doing. He was showing us how to transform the world through vulnerable love. So be still and let your feet be washed. First, let your Lord do for you what we must do for each other.
Thank you.
the upper room, a place of profound love, but also a place of profound, incomprehensible betrayal. Like you share in a prayer on the words on the screen. Let us pray. Where we have wounded your love and marred your image within us, forgive us. Where we have rejected or denied you, forgive us. Lord Jesus, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Forgive us all that is past, and lead us out of darkness to walk as children of light. Hear his words of grace to each one of us. Your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. They came at length to a garden called Gethsemane.
Stay here. I'm going a little farther to pray and to think.
He took Peter, James, and John with him, and as they left the larger group behind, he became distressed and filled with sorrow.
My heart is so heavy. I feel as if I could die. Wait here for me and stay awake to keep watch.
He walked on a little farther. Then he threw himself on the ground and prayed for deliverance from what was about to come.
Abba, Father, I know that anything is possible for you. Please take this cup away so I don't have to drink from it. But whatever happens, let your will be done, not mine.
He got up, went back to the three and found them sleeping.
Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you wait for me for just an hour? Stay awake and pray that you aren't led into a trial of your own. It's true, even when the spirit is willing, the body can betray it.
He went away again and prayed again the same prayer as before, pleading with God but surrendering to his will. He came back and found the three asleep, and when he woke them, they didn't know what to say to him. After he had gone away and prayed for a third time, he returned to find them slumbering.
Again? Still sleeping and getting a good rest? Well, that's enough sleep. The time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up now and let's go. The one who is going to betray me is close by.
Before he had finished speaking, Judas, one of the 12, approached with a large group of people, agents of the chief priests, scribes, and elders in Jerusalem, armed with swords and clubs. The signal they had arranged was a kiss.
Watch to see whom I kiss. He's the one.
Judas had told them.
Arrest him and take him into secure custody.
As soon as they arrived, Judas stepped forward. Immediately the soldiers grabbed Jesus and took him into custody. Now one of the disciples standing close by drew his sword and swung, cutting off the ear of a slave of Caiaphas, the high priest.
Am I a thief or a bandit that you have come armed with swords and clubs to capture me? I sat teaching in the temple every day with you. You could have taken me at any time. But you never did. Let the scriptures be fulfilled.
When they saw the armed crowd take Jesus into custody, the disciples fled. One of those following Jesus was a young man who was wearing nothing but a linen cloth. When people from the mob grabbed him, he wriggled out of their grasp, left them holding the cloth, and ran naked into the night. So the Roman commander, soldiers and Jewish officials arrested Jesus, cuffed his hands and feet, and brought him to Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest. You may remember that Caiaphas counseled the Jews that one should die for all people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed behind Jesus. When they arrived, Peter waited in the doorway while the other disciple was granted access because of his relationship with the high priest. That disciple spoke to the woman at the door, and Peter was allowed inside.
You were one of this man's disciples, aren't you?
I am not.
All the servants and officers gathered around a charcoal fire to keep warm. It was a cold day, and Peter made his way into the circle to warm himself.
Who are your disciples? What do they teach?
I have spoken in public where the world can hear, always teaching in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jewish people gather. I have never spoken in secret. So why would you need to interrogate me? Many have heard me teach. Why don't you question them? They know what I have taught.
While Jesus offered his response, an officer standing nearby struck Jesus with his hand.
Is that how you speak to the high priest?
If I have spoken incorrectly, why don't you point out the untruths that I speak? Why do you hit me if what I have said is correct?
Annas sent Jesus to Caiaphas, bound as a prisoner. As this was happening, Peter was still warming himself by the fire.
You're one of them, aren't you?
One of his disciples.
No, not me.
One of the high priest's servants, who was related to Malchus, the person Peter attacked and cut off his ear, recognised Peter.
Didn't I see you in the garden with him?
Peter denied it again, and instantly a rooster crowed. Had risen, Jesus was taken from Caiaphas to the governor's palace. The Jewish leaders would not enter the palace because their presence in a Roman office would defile them and cause them to miss the Passover feast. Pilate, the governor, met them outside. Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted thorny branches together as a crown and placed it onto his brow and wrapped him in a purple cloth. They drew near to him, shouting,
"Bow down, everyone! This is the King of the Jews!"
"Listen, I stand in front of you with this man to make myself clear. I find this man innocent of any crimes."
Then Jesus was paraded out before the people, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe.
"Here is the man.
Crucify! Crucify!
You take him and crucify him. I have declared him not guilty of any punishable crime."
"Our law says that he should die because he claims to be the Son of God."
Pilate was terrified to hear the Jews making their claims for his execution, so he retired to his court, the Praetorium.
"Where are you from?"
Jesus did not speak.
"How dare you ignore me? Are you not aware that I have the authority either to free you or crucify you?"
"Any authority you have over me comes from above, not from your political position. Because of this, the one who handed me to you is guilty of the greater sin."
Pilate listened to Jesus' words. Taking them to heart, he attempted to release Jesus, but the Jews opposed him, shouting,
"If you release this man, you have betrayed Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king threatens Caesar's throne."
After Pilate heard these accusations, he sent Jesus out and took his seat in the place where he rendered judgment. This place was called the Pavement, or Gabbatha in Hebrew. All this occurred at the sixth hour, on the day everyone prepares for the Passover.
"Jews, look, here is your king.
Put him away.
Crucify him.
You want me to crucify your king?"
"We have no king but Caesar."
Pilate handed him over to the soldiers, knowing that he would be crucified.
Thank you.
They sent Jesus out carrying his own instrument of execution, the cross, to a hill known as the place of the skull, or Golgotha in Hebrew. In that place they crucified him along with two others, one on his right and the other on his left. Pilate ordered that a plaque be placed above Jesus' head. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." It was written in three languages, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, so that all could understand.
"Don't write the King of the Jews. Write, 'He said, I am the King of the Jews.'"
"I have written what I have written."
As Jesus was being crucified, the soldiers tore his outer garments into four pieces, one for each of them. They wanted to do the same with his tunic, but it was seamless, one piece of fabric woven from the top down. So they said,
"But don't tear it. Let's cast lots, and then the winner can have the whole thing."
This happened in keeping with the Hebrew scriptures, which said, "They divided my outer garments and cast lots for my clothes." These soldiers did exactly what was foretold in the Hebrew scriptures. Jesus' mother was standing next to his cross, along with her sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Jesus looked to see his mother and the disciple he loved standing nearby.
Dear woman, this is your son. This is now your mother.
From that moment, the disciple treated her like his own mother and welcomed her into his house. Jesus knew now that his work had been accomplished and the Hebrew scriptures were being fulfilled.
I am thirsty.
A jar of sour wine had been left there, so they took a hyssop branch with a sponge soaked in the vinegar and put it to his mouth. When Jesus drank, he spoke.
It is finished.
In that moment, his head fell and he gave up his spirit. In your hands he placed himself, all that he was, all that he had ever been, all his beauty, all his obedience, all his loving. In God's hands he placed his spirit.
Thank you.
somehow, through the horror, the scandal, the folly of the cross, we see a divine love that cannot be defeated. Jesus doing what he always did, loving, forgiving, healing. The arms of outstretched love, reconciling us to God and drawing us into the mystery of love divine through the power of the cross. Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple who kept his faith a secret for fear of the Jewish officials, made a request to Pilate for the body of Jesus. Pilate granted this request, and Joseph retrieved the body. Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus under the cloak of darkness, brought over 100 pounds of myrrh and ointments for his burial. Together they took Jesus' body and wrapped him in linen soaked in essential oils and spices, according to Jewish burial customs. Near the place where he was crucified, there was a garden with a newly prepared tomb. Because it was a day of preparation, they arranged to lay Jesus in this tomb so that they could rest on the Sabbath.
Oh,
Wonderful and terrible is your love, O God, the love which weeps with longing for your children while they plan to crucify you, the love which longs to enfold them as a hen enfolds her chicks, but which is spread-eagled on a cross to die in agony. The love which allows us to go the way we have wrongly chosen, but which follows us into our God-forsakenness. How wonderful and terrible is your love, O God. Before that mystery we bow. May we know that love enfolding us now. The love which created us, the love which comes to save us, the love which will never let us go. For the assurance of your love given to us afresh, thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to share with me in these closing words of blessing. God of life and death, we wait in hope. With your love to enfold us, we go in peace. Amen.
Everybody who shared in the readings, a big thank you to you all.